Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Should you pay higher taxes? Because there's 35 different measures being discussed and proposed by government to try and cut down on our own personal private car use. And like, it's basically the polluter pays. So the bigger the car, the more you're likely to pay. And this is going to go out for public consultation for a number of weeks now to see how you, the members of the public, the taxpayers, the car drivers, feel about these measures. I want to get a sense of how you feel about it today. So give us a shout. Robert is on the line. Robert, do you agree with the polluter pays principle?
I do agree the polluter pays, but not simply taxing the large car as the polluter. The car that does the most journeys should pay the most amount of tax. So if you have a nice big SUV in the driveway, be it an electric one, which is one of the heaviest ones, which Eamon Ryan wants us to have electric cars, but they also happen to be the heaviest cars on the road. So if you use your car twice a day, he wants you to pay the largest amount of tax. But if you use your diesel estate for 5 hours a day, you pay less tax. I don't see how that makes sense.
So it's an interesting suggestion. So it's not about the weight of the car in your eyes, it's about the more journeys you take, the more you should contribute.
Yes, because that's when you're using more diesel, you're using the roads more, and you're using more or having more emissions from your car. So a car that does 20 hours of driving a week should pay more than a car that only does 4 hours of driving a week. So why penalise the people that don't use their car as much simply based on weight? I don't think that makes sense.
Do you agree with that, Angela?
Well, I think let's just set the backdrop here. The backdrop is that last year was the hottest year on record, and scientists are screaming at us to rein in fossil fuel emissions so we can stop the climate crisis from continuing to escalate. So I am definitely in favour. I see the other caller's point. I don't know how you would run a scheme like that. But one thing he's not taking into account, I think, is that, or didn't mention, that bigger cars also use up a lot more materials to manufacture. So that's another big consideration. We have to look at the whole life cycle of vehicles. Mm. So I would be in favour of a tax on larger vehicles. They're also more of a danger on the road to cyclists and pedestrians. So I think we need to take those factors into account as well.
Yeah, the aim of all of this really is to try and reduce the number of car journeys that we take by about 20% by 2030, just in an effort to try and meet the climate targets. Like, that's not even going to do any more. That's just to try and meet the current expectations. I just wonder, is this the fairest way to do it, Robert?
I think, well, what's the fairest way? To just tax large vehicles? That's not really the fairest way. I mean, today I'm driving from Dunleary to Bulls Bridge to Kynemore Road to Terenure and back to Dunleary. Now, I should be paying more tax than the lady or the person with a large SUV.
Well, Eamon Ryan would probably say you should be doing that in public transport.
Well, yeah, I should if we had a decent public transport system.
And like, you're in the best served area nearly. And I'm not saying this with any judgment, Robert, but like, you know, if you that's in Dunleary and trying to get to Terenure and wherever else you mentioned there in between, like between the Lewis and the Dublin bus and the bikes and, you know, go-karts.
But I can't do that with three chairs in the back of the car and a tabletop, which is in the boot. So I need my car for work. There's just no other way. That, you know, the majority of people drive the cars because they have to. And I don't drive a large car. I drive a 1.6 diesel. But to go back to Eamon Ryan's idea of taxing large vehicles, you know, large vehicles, battery electric vehicles are some of the heaviest vehicles. And they are also, a lot of them are very large vehicles. So he wants us to have electric vehicles, but yet tax us for having those electric vehicles. And if he wants us to take, you know, old cars off the road, he wants us to manufacture more cars, which is a huge amount of construction, or let's say a raw material usage to make brand new electric cars to replace the cars you already have, which have, you know, maybe another 10 years of use out of. It's not joined up thinking, I don't think. I'd like to see taxable emissions or taxes based on the amount of emissions that you produce by using your car more. And it could be monitored through mileage levels through NCT. Every car gets an NCT once it's over a certain age. Your mileage is recorded. Mm. That could be documented. So the cars that do 40,000 should pay a lot more than the cars that only do 15,000 a year.
Would that work, Angela? Like, surely between, you know...
I mean, having taxes on fuel, which there already are, I mean, that goes to the issue that the other caller is talking about. So the more you drive, you know, the more, if it's a petrol or diesel car, the more tax you're paying on the fuel. So there's already, you know, a tax like that in place. So I have no problem with this additional tax. I mean, it you know, follows the principle of the people who have more money to spend on these large vehicles should, you know, spend more tax, should be penalised more than poorer people who can afford, you know, only smaller cars. And the bottom line is we have to reduce the overall number of cars on the road. And people complain about public transportation. And yes, there are definitely issues with our public transportation. But a lot of those issues are due to the fact that there are so many cars on the road, the congestion. So we have to ease that congestion. And I know people are, you know, it's a human trait that we're reluctant to change our habits, but we all have to step up and start changing our habits. Because there's so much at stake. I mean, Ireland, I saw one journalist express it as Ireland hasn't yet been punched in the face by climate change, but the writing is on the wall. We saw all the flooding last year in Listowel, Middleton, parts of Clontarf. We have to each start stepping up and, you know, it's our own future, our children's future, and the future of future generations that's at stake here.
It has something. So we have to do something. We've got to do more than we're doing at the moment. Okay, stay with us, Angela and Robert, if you don't mind. I just want to get a couple of other voices in here too. A lot of people getting in touch. It's 1800 453 106. Tom is in Kildare. Tom, I believe you're a part-time farmer. Should the polluter pay?
Well, within proportion, like, you know, you have to pay some tax. But like, as far as I can see, it's a green agenda to get the Jeeps and the bigger cars off the road. Like an SUV for me and my work, I haven't seen an SUV yet with a hitch on it to help me pull cattle or horses to a different area or whatever, or pick up some feed. There's no hitches on them. And it's just a green agenda to push them off the road and get everyone using an SUV, simply, or an EV, sorry, an EV.
Well, Angela pointed out, like, we see the climate situation that we're facing at the moment, like globally, and we've got some impact of it here, you know, on a I suppose a fairly large scale basis over the past 12 months between flooding in different parts. But
globally is the word. What harm, like, we are doing no harm to the environment, our tiny little island, to, in comparison to China, Russia, US, like, we're disproportionately paying too much for the little bit of harm we do, if we do any harm at all. All they have to do in this country is stop cutting down trees, plant more trees, and do a few things for the environment instead of destroying it.
I don't think it's as simple as that, though, Tom.
Well, look, it's a little bit of help. It's a little bit of everyone. Look, there's always been floods. There's always been floods. There's always been deep freezes. Like,
right.
Can anybody explain to me why the ice melted even 10,000 years ago? That was climate change. What caused that?
You just think anybody in a Jeep or a larger vehicle just shouldn't be paying any more at all. That's it.
Look, we're paying enough. And they're even putting up the green diesel. Like, what's that going to put onto the cost of a farmer to sow maybe 300 acres of corn or wheat or peas or potatoes? That's going to be pushed down the road, like a knock-on effect to the shops and the food in the shops. We're going to pay more. Like, we're paying enough for diesel. England are not
paying
up their prices.
All right, Larry's on the line as well. Larry, what's your thoughts on these new measures that we're hearing about today? And people are going to be consulted on this. So, how do you feel about it this afternoon?
Yes, well, you contacted me there the last time we touched on this subject, and my thoughts were that we should be encouraged to hold on to older cars, and possibly if Minister Ryan would consider reducing the tax, motor tax, on older cars, like an older car, they've lower depreciation rates, you know, lower value insurance premiums.
Yeah, but so they're probably emitting more, you know, emissions and
more than what?
A newer model.
Well, a newer model. I mean, the amount of resources and energy that is in the production of a new model far outweighs the emissions that an older car would have over its remaining lifetime. Like, the resources that go into the production of a new car are extraordinary. Like, the energy consumption going into the production of a new car is just out of, like, the scale of it is just incredible. And the amount of water usage that's involved in the production of a new car. I read somewhere that it was something like 100,000 litres of water goes into the production of one car, be it electric or emissions. And that's for cooling and cleaning and other processes that are there, you know. And then there's the use of new hazardous materials that are used in cars, new cars, lead, mercury, cadmium, all of these things. And how do they dispose of these in new cars? Now, we should be encouraged to hold on to our cars for as long as we can.
Okay.
Maintain them, and, you know, and that's,
do you,
that's, there's plenty.
Do you agree with that, Shane O'Donoghue from CompleteCar.ie? Like, should we be encouraged to hold on to the older models?
I mean, I think there's some merit in that because, as the caller just said, there, you know, is huge amount of raw materials and resources goes into production of products like cars. But also, there is already sort of some of the latest manufacturing facilities and cars. There's now a much bigger focus on a whole life reduction of use of raw materials and reduce of CO2 output, etc. So moving forward, that's going to be less of an argument. The balance is going to tip towards the newer models, newer emissions-free models that take less raw materials. The factories are designed from the start to be carbon neutral and to use a lot more secondary and recycled material, etc. So there's certainly an argument for that for now, for where we are right now. But longer term, that I don't see that as a strong argument.
This idea that's been, you know, mooted today from the Environment Minister, Eamon Ryan, about higher taxes for the likes of the heavier cars or heavier Jeeps or SUVs, whatever you want to call them. Is it fair, Shane?
I'm really not sure about this. I mean, the phrase polluter pays is being wheeled out, which is fine, but that suggests that it's pollution. Whereas if you have an electric car running with zero emissions and it's charged up with the grid, which is the responsibility of the electricity grid, etc. But if that has zero emissions, then the phrase polluter pays means nothing.
Well, sure, now, if we're talking about this weight-based model, I don't pretend to be any sort of an engineer, you know, or on electric cars, but, like, surely the EVs, the Jeeps, are the heaviest. So how, like, if we're talking about a weight-based model, how does that balance?
Yeah, that's a big issue there because electric cars in general are much heavier because batteries are so heavy. So you forget about SUVs for a moment. Even the smallest electric cars are much heavier than an equivalent sized petrol car. So if we're talking about weight, we need to be very careful there because, you know, we're moving towards electric cars and that's just the way it's going now. And they are inherently heavier. So are we therefore penalizing people for going for electric cars? That's not right either. Now, going back to the point at the top about SUVs, the phrase SUV or the term SUV now covers a vast number of cars.
Sure, every car is nearly an SUV, Shane,
yes,
from what I can see.
Yeah, so you can get little hatchbacks that are marketed as mini SUVs, but they're not SUVs in how we understand that phrase. So I think we need to be very careful. At the top, actually, you use the phrase 4x4, whereas most of these things are not. Most of these are front-wheel drive, fairly efficient cars that are masquerading as SUVs, if you like. And I think we need to be very careful about how we define that.
Just to clarify that then for me, because I think that the mention today in a lot of the articles talking about Eamon Ryan's 35 new measures that are being discussed, they talk about SUVs. So define that. What is an SUV then?
That's a big issue. I think the use of that phrase even is so vague now. And that needs to be defined in far clearer terms before anybody can take it seriously. There are very large vehicles, off-roaders and SUV4x4s that perhaps have no place in a city environment. But most of the cars that most people are buying that are perhaps marketed as SUVs aren't. They're maybe a bit taller, but they're just cars that are a bit taller and have rugged looking, you know, design.
Well, like I just two models that you see an awful lot around, like, you know, the Nissan Qashqai or the Skoda, the Kodiaq, that they're probably not Jeeps, but they're not the saloon car either. Like, are they?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't really see what the major problem with those cars is. They are perhaps a little bit heavier than a hatchback or a small saloon, which is one thing, I guess. But also, you're going to penalise people that need larger cars for bigger families, etc. So the Kodiaq you just mentioned, for example, is up to 7 seats. Most people who buy those need, you know, need more than 3 seats in the back. Or, you know, or they regularly carry cousins or friends to GAA practice or whatever as well. So that they need a larger car. And are we going to penalise families, larger families that need larger cars? That's another big question.
Okay, stay with us. I have a voice note in on this from Pat.
Hi, Andrea. Pat here. Just want to say, absolutely, the polluter pays. Those obnoxious SUV drivers, I won't even go into the brands of them, but they know who they are. I hope they have to pay 3-4 times as much road tax as any other road users. They're absolutely disgusting.
Right, there you go, Pat. Very strong feelings there on the large SUVs or large Jeeps, whatever you want to call them. Sean is on the line in Donegal. Sean, how do you feel about these proposals today?
Well, we have a Skoda Kodiaq, and we have it because we've 4 children. We had a Skoda Superb previously, and then we discovered we were having our youngest, and our only option was to go for a 7-seater if we wanted any sort of family days out.
So you're concerned that you could be affected by this if it's based on weight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So sorry, you said you'd... I didn't catch the start of that. Sean, you 4 kids, is it?
We're 4 children, yeah.
4, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So and you need a larger... For the family, you need a car then that can hold 6.
Yeah, and we only have 1 car in the house. If the ban for 7-seater SUVs, then we'd have to go to 2 cars, which is more polluting than the 1 single car. And for us in rural Donegal, we have no option of public transport.
Yeah, well, I was just going to ask you that. It's not something you can rely on.
Like, there's... If I want to go to Letterkenny or Balbuffet, I have to walk 2 kilometres to get a bus, which always comes maybe every second or third hour. It's not like being in Dublin where you walk 10 minutes and there's a bus every 15, 20 minutes.
You see, I think a lot of people, Shane, will feel like Sean today, and they're probably weighing up their options. A lot of people don't have public transport to rely on, Shane.
That's my point I made just before that caller, that we're going to penalise people that need larger cars here. And I accept that not everybody that has a large car needs one. Absolutely not. But there are a lot of people in the country that do and that use them. And so... Are we actually going to force a situation where people move to 2 cars? And that's completely against the whole purpose of it all. I think this all needs to be considered very carefully.
What do you think's likely to happen? Because these proposals are going to go out to public consultation now for a number of weeks. I think the government are actually going to start chatting to some of the insurance providers too, to try and find ways to incentivise us to reduce mileage and maybe look at more affordable insurance options. But do you think this is likely to come in?
I certainly do. I don't believe the public consultation will do anything whatsoever. I believe there's a plan there, and the public consultation is just box ticking, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you heard it even just from it's only a small sample of a couple of people getting in touch with us today. We could spend the next hour chatting to people about this. Look, we might try and come back to it after 1-800-453-106 is the number, though, if you want to share your thoughts on these proposals about higher taxes for larger cars and whether or not the polluter should pay.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.